Palisade Radio is preparing to release an in-depth report on the fundamentals of uranium, including our top three picks for 2019. Sign up today at palisaderadio.com to be the first to receive our exclusive report.
Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell, and we are back for our fifth part of the uranium series that we've been putting out. Part one and two are with Mike Alkin at Sachem Cove. We also had Daniel Major on for part three, CEO of Goviex. And then part four that just came out was Marin Katusa. Today, joining us back on the program, we haven't talked to him in quite some time, is George Glazier. He's the CEO of Western Uranium, soon to be called Western Uranium and Vanadium. George, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Colin. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, last time I saw you was down in Belize at our first conference we did down there. And of course, at the time, we all were keen on uranium. It seemed to be making a turn upward. And looking back now, that sure did look, it does look like it was the bottom. And hopefully, we're beginning a second leg up now. Let's start by talking about something that definitely is impacting Western and that could continue to impact Western on the uranium side, which is this petition that's been put forward to the president on the importance of U.S. sourced uranium. I believe it's petition 232.
Right. Yes, that is having, you know, we think some impact, not on world prices yet, but will certainly, if something is done on that, have a fairly drastic impact on U.S. Resource holders, whether you're in production or near production. We think that a positive result from that would be increased U.S. production. You know, the production last year, I understand, was reported at less than 2 million pounds, probably the lowest we've had virtually ever in the U.S. And, of course, our consumption remains over 50 million pounds. And so this petition is simply saying you need to have a certain base of U.S. production. And what the petition has asked for is that 25% of the U.S. commercial utility demand be filled by U.S. sourced uranium. And of course, if you take 50 million pounds of usage today and have even 25% of that, that's 12 million pounds. Now, I don't think 12 million pounds is achievable the first year, but certainly the industry, and Colin, you know about this, you've talked to a lot of the producers and the ones that are coming up, certainly we can get to that level in a few years. So my estimation is that probably there will be some relief under that. The industry needs it, and you know, obviously President Trump granted relief to the steel and aluminum industries under the same section, 232. And I heard his press conference, you know, a week or so ago about, you know, the value that that has been to these industries. And uranium is probably even more strategic because simply we can't use foreign uranium generally for any of our military uses. And of course, the military doesn't need, you know, a stockpile. The DOE has a stockpile, but it doesn't last forever. So the industry needs to have some survivability, you know, in the near future, so it'll be around for, you know, the needs of the U.S. And that petition is in the Department of Commerce. They're reviewing it to make a recommendation to the president. It could be as early as sometime early next year that we hear something. Could be earlier, but, you know, we expect something early in 2019 as to the result of that petition.
That is certainly a petition that seems to work towards the sentiments of Trump. He's certainly pushing a lot of domestic policies. Another one that's certainly influencing Western would have been the executive order he put out earlier this year naming 35 strategic metals. I'm almost certain uranium was on there. And I know that
Yes, it was.
Okay, and I know that vanadium was on there too.
Right, that's exactly right. And vanadium, the U.S. is producing absolutely no vanadium. It's a critical material, and I think that's what, you know, the administration has said. So the vanadium industry needs to come back in the U.S. It clearly, we can't rely on the Chinese, the Russians, or wherever else for vanadium. And with the increased demand for it worldwide, You know, we've got to have U.S. production. So, you know, I know there's a number of projects on the drawing board, all of which make a lot of sense. Of course, Western has a large, high-grade vanadium resource in its Sunday mine. And we'll be doing some more, you know, evaluation of that resource in the near future.
For investors who are not that familiar with Western, your stock is up about 250% in the last couple months. So congratulations on that. You have one of the largest in-the-ground holdings of uranium, around 100 million pounds across all of your projects, maybe a bit more. And then you also have considerable vanadium in your projects. I have a feeling that the price of vanadium having gone up 700 or 800% in the last couple of years is probably driving the Western price appreciation, but certainly uranium is starting to pick up now as well.
Yeah, so you know, I see the spot price is probably $27 to $28. You know, like you said, we're probably really in a recovery. The world price is slowly going up because of the reaction of shutting down some, you know, worldwide production. So we're going to see that price continue to go up. You know, when it reaches a level that most producers can come back in, that's anybody's guess, but I think it's moving towards that. You know, as you mentioned, the vanadium, you know, in the Sunday mine is six times the uranium content. And the vanadium has reached, you know, over $24, $25 a pound. At that rate, the vanadium is worth far more than uranium. You know, you take a ton of rock with 2 pounds of uranium, pick a number at $30, that's $150. But we've got 30 pounds of vanadium, and that's a historic production. 30 pounds at $20, you got $600 worth of vanadium. So right now, with these high-grade resources, you know, it clearly is a vanadium mine with a, you know, co-product of uranium.
Right, and that's quite the change, and it's been very beneficial for Western and shareholders. Now, looking at going into production or recommencing production at the Sunday, there must be some level of caution on putting a plan together on the vanadium price, because something that goes up that quickly and is not stabilized yet is hard to base economics on. So what's your guys' plan for management on potential production at Sunday?
Well, it's either, you know, either getting a commitment for uranium or a vanadium contract at a price that basically, you know, returns, you know, positive cash flows from that operation. Now, again, I would not contract long-term at the current uranium prices because I believe it's going to go up. So it wouldn't be wise to enter into a 5 to 10 year contract fixing it at any way near today's price. Vanadium, however, I would be certainly happy to fix the price at today's price or even considerably lower. But, you know, that we have not, you know, even really marketed vanadium yet. We're starting that process. I'll be attending the Ferroalloy Conference in Orlando next week, which is obviously, you know, has vanadium interested parties there. I've got a number of meetings set there to kind of judge the market and what the buyers of vanadium think. You know, we had this drastic run up of price. Will it be maintained or will it drop back down? And what's a sustainable level over the next 5 years? That's a question that I think everybody has.
For sure, a lot to be seen. In terms of plans from before, of course, there was a lot of discussion about the technology of ablation, and then I believe there was a concern on permitting in terms of whether ablation was being considered milling or not. Of course, the company was taking the stance that ideally it would not be considered milling, and there might have been a difference in opinion from the regulators. But what is a potential mine plan look like at this point on whether you're using ablation or not, and then how to extract both the vanadium and uranium?
Well, you know, with the pricing that we're looking at, we don't need to upgrade, you know, or don't need to use the ablation. The ablation technology is a cost-reducing technology. But with the prices that we see now, especially for vanadium, you know, conventional production, you know, can start. If we could secure a price at that, you take a look at Energy Fuels announced they're starting, you know, and do have miners in the Beaver Mine getting it ready for production. And they don't have, you know, the capability of using ablation at this point. So, conventionally is the initial plan moving into the ablation, certainly once we resolve the issues of permitting.
George Western is now floating between the $75 and $100 million market cap, which is a great position to be in if you need to do equity financing or secure debt. What can shareholders over the next 6 to 12 months expect from management to deliver? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
Well, you know, we've announced that we're going to sample the large stockpile at the Sunday Mine. We're doing that this month. There'll be a report out on that. You know, the grades of uranium and vanadium on the stockpile, just the surface of the stockpile, that's the first step. The next step is to actually open the Sunday Mine and go in there and do an assessment of the vanadium. You know, we pretty much know what the uranium is in there. There's been a 43-101 technical report done on a small drill out. But the idea is to do some additional underground drilling, maybe some surface drilling, and confirm the substantial vanadium resource. They really never, you know, characterized that resource because it was really, you know, a uranium mine with a co-product of vanadium. So we've got plans to do that. Maybe by early next year, we could very well open the Sunday Mine for at least some limited activity.
And George, there are some other projects, several other projects in the portfolio that have pounds of uranium in the ground. I know the company's focused on Sunday at the moment, but are there any other plans surrounding the secondary assets?
Oh, yeah, the Sage Mine in Utah, you know, which, of course, we announced a potential joint venture with a battery company. That did not go through, and probably for our benefit, because we think that property has substantial value. You know, again, to assess that, that'd probably be one we'd want to open the old mine, go in and assess the condition. And that's one that's a little bit down the road, but certainly it's got an excellent vanadium-uranium resource base. There is a small 43-101 drill out on it, but the potential for that property, we believe, is considerable.
Excellent. Well, George, anything else to add for audience members while we have you on the line here?
No, I think that covers kind of where Western Uranium Vanadium, the name change did go into effect the first of this month. So effectively, we're operating under the name Western Uranium and Vanadium.
Excellent. Well, as full disclosure, Palisade Global is a shareholder of Western Uranium and Vanadium. George, thank you so much for coming back on the program. And hopefully we continue to see some appreciation in the share price.
Thanks, Colin. Good talking with you.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?